Welcome back to Noise Avocation Podcast. I'm Ryan here with Jeremy.
Hello.
That was Queen of Winter from Robes of Snow album, Falls Resplendence. We have Damien here with us from the band, and we'll get into that soon. They're like a... He's just a one-man band, isn't he?
Yeah. Yep.
It's an atmospheric black metal type of project. Definitely music you want to listen to, like, while you're out and about. It really complements, like, outdoor scenery, different seasons, fall especially, winter especially.
Yeah, his latest one that we were talking about definitely makes you feel like you're going through a crazy, weird snowstorm, maybe.
Yeah.
Kind of how I take it.
And I like how there's, like, a mellow track, and then it kind of, like, leads into a thrashy black metal track,
yep.
And then it goes back to mellow, and it sets a nice tone for the record, and like I said, it definitely complements the atmosphere if you're outside in the cold or the fall, walking through, like, you know, hiking or whatever the fuck you want to do. But before we get into that, as always, shop Blast Beats Vinyl. Check out the link in our episode description. Use our promo code NOISE for 10% off your first purchase. And follow them on Instagram, too, if you're not already. Follow Robes of Snow. Follow us. And Jeremy, unless you have anything else, we'll get into this.
No, I think that's it, man. Enjoy.
Thanks for jumping on the show, man. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to getting into everything with you.
Well, thank you for having me.
We discovered you, like, through the FIAD Productions thing. And... Mm-hmm. I think Barry Ann brought you up in our interview, and we kind of just were like, oh, wait. We always are writing stuff down, so, like, Robes of Snow was on my list at the end of the episode, and I remember checking you out, and Jeremy did the same thing, and as a person, like, you're from Pennsylvania, so we're in Michigan, and we have, like, kind of all the same seasons.
And okay, yeah.
I really like that you kind of compliment each season in a different record and kind of base it around that season.
No, certainly. I'm trying to think there, except for maybe one or two small things. I think every album that I've done has a seasonal base for sure. That's, you know, what inspires me. And so, you know, in Michigan, I've spent some time in Ann Arbor and you know, pretty similar to Pennsylvania, I would say, in the sense that, you know, we have a distinct winter, spring, summer, and fall, and, you know, each of them have different feelings around here and invoke different feelings in me. So yeah, I think besides a couple one-off things here and there, I would say all of my material, current and upcoming, like previous, current and upcoming, will have that seasonal feel to it. I can't imagine doing Robes of Snow without that.
Yeah, that's what's really caught me, is like how music puts you into, you know, It puts everybody into moods, but in your case, it's like you really feel like you're in the fall or heading into, I don't know, it's interesting how your brain reacts to that, you know what I mean?
For sure. And, you know, a lot of the reason, for anyone who follows me on Instagram, I'll be spamming, you'll see that I spam your feed with a bunch of nature photos, and that's my main source of inspiration. I know it's sort of a atmospheric black metal guy cliche, but like what inspires me most is, you know, going out on hiking and spending that time in nature, and that will sort of create a feeling that I have, and on the ride home, you know, that feeling will start to turn into some kind of musical idea, and then you know, it'll translate in that way. So that's a great compliment, thank you. I want it to have seasonal feelings, and I wanted to evoke that in other people, so that's good to hear.
Yeah, dude, for sure.
Are all your album covers done by you? It's just photographs that you've taken, like while out on hikes and stuff?
Yes, I feel like there's an exception. Okay, yeah. I did a split with another artist and friend, Moldrian, and the When the Last Forest Has Died, and that is a painting that he did. But minus that, like, yes, all the individual Robes of Snow albums are all photography that, you know, the pictures that I've taken when I've been out on hikes.
Okay, can I ask you a question about the Fog and the Tide cover?
Yes.
Okay, so as we just mentioned about the seasons and how it's kind of familiar, that cover could be Lake Huron, because we're right, that's our coast.
Right.
Is that Lake Erie, or what is that? What is
okay.
that from?
Well, first of all, I'm really glad that you asked about that. Thank you. People don't talk about Fog and the Tide as much. So I appreciate that. Okay, so that's taken in Ocean City, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
The Jersey Shore, if you will. And I also want to point out that photograph is not filtered in any way. That's me taking a photo. We were it was, I guess it was 2021. I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact year. And we went down to the shore, and I walked onto the beach, and the entire beach was covered in fog. So that's the Atlantic Ocean on the Ocean City, New Jersey beach.
I swear, man, it must be because of the fog and shit, but I thought the ocean would look a little scarier than that, man.
Have you ever been to Ocean City, New Jersey, or like the Jersey Shore period?
No, sir, I don't stray too far away from Lake Huron, to be honest.
Okay. Well, Lake Huron's beautiful. I don't fault you for that. But no, it was a pretty chill day. I still, went swimming. It was still really warm. This is the middle of the summer. But and it was the vibe was relaxing. It was actually quite beautiful because I don't understand it. It was still 90 degrees. I was still sweating walking down there. But there's something about the fog that causes people to think I shouldn't be in the ocean. So I basically spent that whole morning by myself and my family in the ocean. It was awesome. So yeah, no, it definitely was a more peaceful picture. But I felt like there's a song on that album, Fog Walker, that
Yeah, the long
like
one.
well, there's a lot
Yeah,
of long songs on
it's
there.
the longest one though, I think. It's like, yeah, fifth,
Yeah.
it's almost 16 minutes.
And so that there was a lot of inspiration, kind of like directly from the day, and that having that experience. So even though it was more peaceful, it wasn't as much of like there wasn't any storms, or anything happening like that. But it definitely was. The atmosphere was just right for
Yeah,
me.
it definitely in the picture it gives you that you're kind of wondering what's next, you know.
Yeah, not
That's a
all.
level of suspense I'd like to have in my music. Having people to wonder what's next.
Not all oceans have to be Jaws, Jeremy.
Hey man, I haven't been out of fucking. I do know a few people that said that shit's disappointing as fuck because you have an idea of what the ocean looks like and it's Hollywooded out.
It is. It just looks like a beach in most cases, and more jellyfish instead of like those little tiny fish that we get up by shore.
And see, everything goes kaput or blows up, like y'all can't drink that fucking salt water, but I'll just be sitting on the. I mean, I'll never go hungry or fucking thirsty. We'll be up here chilling.
Atlantic Ocean across the, on the East Coast, and particularly New Jersey, will sometimes surprise you, though. I did another summer album, the Wooden Wheel albums, where it's the acoustic album, and there's a song in there that I did a video for, where it was like what you would imagine, like on a pamphlet, on a tourism pamphlet for like a sunny beach day. And but they actually tried to close the beach down because the currents and the tide were so bad. So you can go on my YouTube and see my dumbass getting there with a GoPro and almost get sucked away by the current. That like that's also, I guess,
Holy shit, dude.
the interesting thing about the ocean is that sometimes you'll especially be fooled by seeing like, oh, it's a sunny day with blue skies and it's really not nice out, but like depending on the current conditions. And I tend to enjoy, I'm a little bit of an adrenaline junkie with stuff like that, so it's probably going against my better judgment of going in there. But like, I don't know, that's also something I value about nature, is that like sometimes you may think you know what you're getting into, but you don't.
Oh, for sure, man. Nature's a crazy, mysterious woman.
True. Very
I
true.
heard you were gonna say bitch there.
No, I wasn't gonna say bitch.
rolled off your tongue a little bit.
I was thinking of the right word.
We tend to like listen to a lot of black metal like when it gets cold here, so it's cool to hear your music, like especially the wintry fall style albums. I like how what was the falls? Pronounce that. Resplendence?
Resplendent. Yeah.
Okay. Falls Resplendence. I liked how that record was kind of used as like fall is sort of an analogy for death, it felt like when I was reading about the record on the Bandcamp bio for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that concept because I've always thought about that too. Like leaves dying and everything seems real grim, and like Halloween's around then, and I don't know, stuff's dying, sure. And it's a fucking good soundtrack.
That was like the first thing that I listened to from you.
Yeah, that's the first one that I heard too. That was when I first like heard the. I looked at the rest of the records while listening to that, and I was like, "Oh, these are all nature albums." Yeah.
Yep.
But when it started out with those acoustic guitars, that's what it really, like, it threw me off when it kicked in and it was like fucking black metal, you know? I don't know. It's cool. I like how it
contrasts it, well.
Yeah, it contrasts
because, like, everything's
and it
very,
brings you into it.
Everything's very relaxing, yeah, like, smooth, mellow, yeah. And then it just goes into, like, raw black metal.
Which is smoothing and relaxing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And to me, that also goes back to that nature part where it's like sometimes it can be like calm, beautiful, and relaxing. And then sometimes it can be dangerous and frightening. And I also definitely appreciate what you said about the themes. So my very first release in 2020 was Autumn Stag and the Crescent Moon. And it's, I guess, it's sort of a similar album in the sense that it is an autumn themed one. And but I had originally intended my first album to be, excuse me, I was recording vocals this morning, so I might cough a little bit. My original album was originally going to be The Frozen Choir, which ended up being my second album. And it's a sort of winter themed black metal. And for Robes of Snow, it obviously winter is my, I there's things I enjoy about all seasons, but winter was my favorite. I wasn't able to get the songs ready in time. And I had some songs that felt like they were more autumn songs than winter songs. So I ended up releasing that first. And so that was more just like a general tone poem about autumn. So when I came to make another autumn themed black metal album, I wanted to try to get something a little more specific or a little more nuanced and in the theme of death. I also wanted to try to do it not in a stereotypical black metal kind of way. You know, obviously being a grief and trauma therapist by trade, that's certainly informs the way that I see things and like and the way that I try to understand nature too. So I tried to capture all elements of it, the sad elements of it, the beautiful elements of it, and that was like, so I appreciate you commenting on it. That was like a theme I wanted to try to cast throughout the album. And you know, when you mentioned the guitar stuff, you know, certainly being a, like, I guess one of the genres, folk black metal, it is one where that's pretty tight. And that comes from my background as well. I mean, I've always been a metalhead, but my aunt and uncle and my aunt plays accordion on, and so some of the songs you hear on that album is my aunt playing. They, and my aunt and uncle are professional bluegrass musicians. So growing up, that was obviously a huge influence on me in terms of the, you know, like the kind of instruments I play and the folk sounds that I would incorporate in the middle of the metal songs came from that. And I guess the thing that I'm probably most known for is my classical guitar playing. So, you know, I decided when I started Robes of Snow that was always going to be a feature or center point for a lot of the songs. So I appreciate you mentioning that.
It's nice to hear how that from your point of view and to understand that it was like it naturally happened like that. You know what I'm saying? Where because it's not forced. You have like that bluegrass, that folk stuff, and then you said, you know, you're like a metalhead, where I see a lot of people faking it, you know?
Yeah, you know, I do sometimes see it. I guess I started, and obviously one of my biggest influences is Panopticon. I'm sure that's not surprising to anyone who is familiar with my work and Panopticons, but, you know, that was another, like, you know, a pretty big influence of mine because I felt like I could relate to that music on both levels. I've taken great care to try to not just, you know, rip off Panopticon and to have that distinct sound. So in trying to add to that, like, I always wanted that folk part to be at the forefront. I guess it was right around that time that there was a lot of other bands came out that were like in the folk black metal started to blow up. And I'm not naming names, nor am I meaning to start any beef with anybody, but like I definitely got the sense that there's a lot of people, it's like almost they wanted the cachet of saying they're like a folk black metal thing, but they didn't.
That's exactly, I guess, what I was getting at. You just definitely said it in a way that everybody can understand. Thank you.
Sure.
I knew exactly what you meant.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so I just feel like it's like, you know, so they find an acoustic guitar that's sitting in their house, and then they record it, like they record an intro with it, and they think that it makes it folk black metal. And right. Again, I'm not here to be gatekeepy and, you know, things like that. But I guess I always wondered, especially with like such a focus on atmosphere in the genre, why people never included it in the middle of the metal parts in the same way, like that I would include keyboard parts in the middle of the metal parts to add that atmosphere. So certainly, like, you know, that became part of that sound. That became part of the sound too.
Maybe it's because we listen to a lot of music, Ryan and I. I mean, it's like kind of what that's everything we do. But it's sure. Like, I feel like in your case of playing that guitar, I can feel that guitar. Like I said, it's like, I believe you. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And that's kind of where I think that shit gets lost. Because it's just carbon copies of, like, you know, Bob Dylan and fucking Danny Filth. I don't know. It's weird.
That's a very unusual combination. Well, no, and you know, I don't think I could fake that. I am, you know, by and large, Robes of Snow is a solitary project. So, I have some people play other, you know, instruments in a certain time, but it's largely me and the sum total of my vision. But again, so much of that is like going to visit my Aunt Liz and Uncle Fred, and you know, growing up, they lived kind of a little bit outside Washington D.C. In a forested area, and we would go there, and they would invite me. You know, we would go down there, and they would invite a lot of their other bluegrass friends. And there wasn't a lot of like preparation or chord progression. It was like, you grab an instrument, you sit in a circle, and then you better just start playing. And that was a good experience in like. Anxiety producing as a kid, but also ultimately really positive, and it kind of caused me to I thought it really helped me as a musician greatly. And so that's just so much in the part of my spirit now that will I'll still in some way try to create that feeling, even if the other musicians are all just myself. Having that kind of layered sound that Robes of Snow often has comes from sitting in a circle around the fireplace, and there's 8 or 9 people there, and like trying to find a place to fit in while everything is going on the fly.
That's awesome, man.
So what all instruments do you play? Because you're like basically a one-man band.
That was my next thing.
Yes. Okay. So I play guitar, and so that means electric and acoustic. I have a classical guitar, which is like most of the time if you're an acoustic guitar, 99% of the, or not 99, but it's like 75% of the times that's what I'm playing. But I also have a traditional 6-string steel guitar. And so a guitar and a bass guitar. I also have a mandolin, you know, which features kind of prominently. I've had a banjo for a while, but I was pretty reluctant. I really wanted to make sure that I got to play the banjo good enough to feel like I could fit it in well. And so the banjo has showed up on a couple different albums here and there, but the upcoming Mountain Shadow album is probably the one where that shows off the banjo the most. But anyway, I digress. I have an old accordion that, if you guys don't mind a tangent in a minute, I'll tell you the story of that accordion. And I have, like, so the drumming situation. I have an electronic drum set that I do play. Robes of Snow does not use programmed drums. I would prefer to have a live drum kit, but my current living arrangements, I don't think that would work. So I have an electronic drum kit that I use, and sometimes I do use my friend CJ, who's a session drummer. So the very real sounding, very good drums you may hear on certain songs are ones that they play. And I'm actually going to walk in my music room because I'm a little worried I'm going to forget something. So, okay. So yes, yeah, so I have keyboards, percussion drums, bass guitar, electric guitar, acoustic guitar, classical drum set. Let me go into the closet here. I have 2 more keyboards. This old bass guitar, mandolin, washboard, a lyre harp, which I guess is the same thing, and I think that's about it. And the accordion and yeah, a couple other hand drums and things like that.
Dude, I can't believe you even come out of that room, being there for days.
COVID was like during that first year of COVID, I was working from the living room and I hung out in the music room, and that's pretty much all I did for a year and a half.
Right on.
Yeah, I was assuming 50% of that stuff was programmed, so that's impressive.
Definitely.
Oh, no,
Yeah,
thank you.
so did I.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment. Yeah, no, I mean, I use keyboards sometimes, but they're not to emulate particular instruments, generally just to be to kind of create an atmosphere of the tone. No, all the other things that sound like acoustic instruments are me playing them.
That's impressive, man.
Thank you. And again, coming from, I gotta give a shout out to my aunt and uncle, because that was like, sometimes when we would go, my family would go and visit them, I didn't always have a, I d we didn't always have room to bring a guitar with me or whatever. So sometimes I just like had to learn to, like pick up an instrument and kind of figure it out on the fly. And mandolin was a fun one. My uncle has like a really expensive mandolin, and like $5,000 mandolin or something. And then, so if there was no other instrument, he would hand me the mandolin, and he'd give me this really stern look, like, you
Don't.
better not break this or drop this. And I'm a big guy. I'm 6'4". I'm 250 pounds. And like mandolins are kind of small, and I have these big giant hands, basically cracking my own knuckles trying to like figure out how to play it by like with the light from a fire pit. Definitely was like a crash course in learning how to play a lot of different instruments, but I'm grateful it gave me exposure to lots of different things, and definitely up my musicianship game for sure, as I said.
You said you had a story about an instrument earlier. What was it?
Yes. So okay, and if this is boring, you guys can edit it out or be like,
Not
hurry
at all.
up, Dave.
No, that's not boring at all.
That's why I brought it back up.
Okay, thank you. So the accordion, I mentioned that like on one of the songs in Fall Resplendence, you'll hear accordion, and that's my aunt playing it. And then there's a song, Raftsman, on the upcoming Mountain Shadow album that you'll also hear very competent accordion playing, and that's my Aunt Elizabeth who's playing that. But I kind of wanted my own accordion, and I have a friend, and she's a home hospice nurse. I won't say anything that will violate her confidentiality. She didn't tell me anything that she said, but so she took care of a patient who passed away and lived to be 100 years old. And this person fled Nazi Germany, and didn't have much to like much time, but like he and his wife fled, and he took his accordion with him. So we're talking 1940s style accordion, and he came to the United States, and he and his wife lived a very long and happy life despite then on all the time. And she said, when I would go there, he would be he would be playing this accordion, and was really good. And sometimes he would even stand in the middle of the room and he'd play the accordion, and his wife would dance around. And it kind of sounds like a cute story. You imagine two people in their 90s kind of dancing around. But anyway, so eventually, he lived to a long age, and he did pass away. And the family was just like, oh, well, we don't want, I guess we'll just throw the accordion away. And my friend, she was like, oh no, absolutely not. Like you shouldn't throw that away. That was such a pivotal part of him. And then they were like, okay, here, well, you take it. So she very kindly gave it to me, and it's kind of it's I'll send you guys a picture later. It's kind of a little bit beat up, and it's not always perfectly in tune, but like the craftsmanship of a musician like that is amazing. And the story that not only the people had, but the resilience that the accordion has was just like, ah, there's like it was such an incredible gift to have. And so I try to, and in my next upcoming releases, you're going to hear a lot of accordion, just because it was such an amazing story behind this thing. And I still love playing it. It just has like a sense of history to that particular instrument that's so unique, and just something that I think is amazing. And it's like slightly out of tuneness just adds to the atmosphere, as far as I'm concerned. So I love all of my instruments, but that one in particular has a really special place.
Yeah, that is a really cool story. So when you lists that as an instrument on an album, do you call it accordion or do you call it Satan's squeeze box?
It's an accordion. No,
maybe for some upcoming ones, but no just the accordion. I suppose my aunt and uncle's bluegrass orthodoxy kicks in there in moments like that. I just call it accordion.
I don't know if you watched like the Weird Al movie. It was stupid but funny, but he plays accordion. And his dad was like kicking him out of the house because he's like, I will not have this Satan squeeze box in my household. And I always thought it was hilarious to call it an accordion that.
No, that's great. I am in the black metal stereotype, typically low on humor. But what movie is it?
It's Weird Al, like the parody dude.
Yeah, no, certainly. And is it just, do you know what the movie's called? Or is it just like called Weird Al?
I think it's called Weird Al.
Okay.
The Weird Al movie, like, or something. I don't remember, but I know it's got Weird Al in the title.
Are you talking about like the newer one?
The new one, not the one that he made.
Yeah.
It's okay. No, Netflix. I'll check that out. Thank you. Find it.
But just so you got the joke, so you weren't like. But I wanted to ask earlier, and I didn't get a chance to when we were talking about seasons. But what is the season that you enjoy writing to the most?
I it's interesting. I feel like the immediate answer would be winter, but I don't know. The autumn albums really have been like, so I have a whole nother autumn themed black metal album ready. Falls Resplendence, which came out this past autumn, I actually wrote in autumn of 2022. And so I have, one now. I'm gonna try to get some session drums on it just to make it a little different than Falls Resplendence. But I feel like those albums seem to come the easiest. So Autumn Stag and the Crescent Moon, as I mentioned before, and Falls Resplendence and the Crones of Autumn, the Wooden Wheel album, the all acoustic album, and then I did a split with another artist, Ghost Lake. Those albums, I'm trying to pay particular attention to the words that you use, like the easiest. I feel like that's the easiest one to write to. Winter is my favorite season, but I do feel like maybe perfectionistically, like I think about it too much, and it's like it can at times border on being a chore. Whereas I feel like the fall albums just kind of flow freely.
Yeah. How long have you been playing instruments in general? Because it sounds like you kind of come from a musical family a little bit, with your aunt and uncle being bluegrass musicians.
Yeah, all my life.
Okay. What did you start playing first?
Guitar.
Okay.
Oh, no, scratch that. My mom would be disappointed. When I was a little kid, I played the baritone tuba.
Do you still play tuba?
Yes. Okay. I don't know. I believe that I still could. I haven't been around one enough to play it. And we also had a keyboard, in the house, some old Casio thing growing up. But the first instrument that I think I really learned how to play competently was guitar.
Okay. What age was that at?
God. I probably picked it up at like 9 or 10.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, good.
It's like, when did you discover music, like your music? Like, when did you discover black metal, or when did you, what I mean? Like,
sure.
When you had your,
I was getting
you took
to
your
that.
Own thing, yeah.
Okay. Well, if I may answer the specific that discovered my own music in general, we were at my grandfather's house, who is no longer with us, but he lived in Wildwood Crest, New Jersey, which is like, Jersey Shore for those people who are not familiar. And I crawled up into the attic, even though I wasn't supposed to, and there was a guitar up there, and so I discovered that, and I was like, whoa. It was an acoustic guitar, and I was very, it was really dark up there, and I'm kind of crawling through the attic to find that there was this guitar here. No one knew where that guitar actually came from, but it was there, and so I dragged it down, and I showed my mom, and I was just enamored by this guitar, and I started playing it, and then I left it in the other room, and I woke up the next day and I couldn't find it. Well, come to later find out, my aunt, who's a very noted clinical psychologist, actually hid the guitar because she was tired of hearing me play it, because I guess I was playing it, I didn't know what I was doing, and it was twangy and detuned, and the neck was bent from the heat So she hid the guitar from me, and then I eventually kind of saw it out of the corner of my eye when I went into her room, and I was and I was really angry that she hid it from me, and I took it home. And I'd like to say that like that was the start of me doing angry music on guitar. But my mom took it to a local guy in our neighborhood who was a music teacher and fixed up the guitar and tuned it. And that's when I started playing. And I'd always, been my parents don't immediately play musical instruments, but both of them always, had music on growing up. And I probably through MTV or radio or whatever, found my way through, to heavy metal stuff. And then that's just where I got hooked.
Awesome. What are some of your favorite bands that you listened to growing up?
You know, one of my big things was we would, my childhood best friend is still my current best friend, Wrath of Khan, Instagrammer Keith. And he's the other person who's in Mountain Shadow. So, we used to stay up late at night during sleepovers and, find music and watch old music videos. So I probably got into death metal first. I was probably more of a death metal guy, and so we had d dug through older stuff like Obituary, Morbid Angel, Deicide. He was always
The
Keith is,
classics.
yeah, Keith was always had a little more of a punk influence than I did. So he kind of there was more like he got me into Carcass and. Some other stuff like that. So then I came across, and it was probably Amorphous, Black Winter Day. I'm blanking on the name of the album right now. That had a different kind of like it had some of the brutality of the death metal stuff, but it had a little more atmosphere. And I think that like that drew me towards it. And certainly the three biggest black metal influences on me were Emperors and the Night Slide, Eclipse, the first couple Ulver albums and Panopticon. I would say like those three. If I am, I hope I am answering your question.
Oh, totally, man.
Those three were the hugest influence in terms of like, and obviously I came to enjoy other things, but I think are the three bands the most that really resonated with me.
Yeah, that I do enjoy that Emperor album myself.
It was like heavy, but it was also sort of surreal and dreamy in a way that the atmosphere had
Right.
I know like really inspired me. And some of those first Ulver albums would have like when they were first couple ones they had like an acoustic album, they would have ones where the black metal was happening and the acoustic guitar was happening over top of that. So that certainly was an influence too. And as I said, Panopticon, I think really, kind of blew the doors open in terms of what I saw that like the kind of range you could have in music. You could have this like gentle, really beautiful sounding music, this very dreamy sounding music, and this really rough sounding music, and all of it like fit together. So I'd say those things in total definitely influenced me the
For
most.
sure, for sure.
Yeah, I can definitely hear the Ulver influence because that was one thing I thought of right away when I heard your stuff.
I tried to like give the newer stuff a listen. I guess it just doesn't resonate with me in the same way, but I know some people love it and good for them. It's hard enough to be happy in the world. If you find something that you enjoy, keep listening to it.
I prefer the earlier stuff. I haven't honestly even listened to any of the newer things that they've come out with.
I think the last thing that I really and this is again going back to a very long time was they did William Blake's A Marriage in Heaven and Hell. Like that was the last Ulver thing that I would listen to consistently.
Yeah, I like that early, like just straight folk stuff that's in, I don't even know what language it's in, to be honest with you, but
Sure. I'm assuming it's Norwegian.
yeah, I mean, something of the sort. But I know, like, some of those guys over there, like, they'll use Gaelic sometimes or, like,
Yeah.
make up their own language. Like, I think, like, Fintral, like, adds some of their own words to
Sure.
their music and stuff. And I don't know, there's so many dialects of that.
I from just listening to the album for so many years, I'll sing along to Bergtot, the Ulver album, and I have no idea what he's saying. So it's like
Yeah, but you
I
like
could
know the melody of it.
I could sing you all the words. I couldn't tell you what it means. And I Googled it at one point. And it's probably exactly what you're expecting it to be. But yeah, no, I Burkhart in particular, and was such a, I don't know, such a pivotal album for me.
So you've done two albums this year so far.
Okay, so
Are my dates wrong on that? Did they added to certain streaming platforms in 2024?
I was gonna say I'd like to be honest about that. Yeah, I'm right now. I'm looking at my Bandcamp abs. I came to Spotify really late in the game.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say necessarily that I was like anti-Spotify before. I know some people some people take a principled stance on that. I guess I was just never really it didn't to go with the black metal guy stereotype. I was like I think for a while where it's just like underground and didn't want to like wasn't super interested in that. But the Falls Resplendence was actually amazingly successful album, and so I just got enough people saying to me like we really wanted on Spotify, so then I was eventually like, okay.
I mean, yeah, it's not like I get the politics behind it, but it's also probably the easiest way to distribute your music to a widespread crowd if you want people to listen to your stuff. Because, yeah, a lot of people use Bandcamp, but quadrupled, if not more, use Spotify. Dude.
Bandcamp is, as far as I've been using that a lot lately for, like, deep diving and... Yeah, you can be up late and your brain's just like fried. Your eyes would burn. Like,
I do use Bandcamp, but I use my Apple Music like way more.
Yeah, that's probably why. Because I am a non-Apple person.
But I was listening to Robes of Snow on Bandcamp, and then like earlier in the week, I looked up on Apple Music because I was like, oh, I wonder if there's any stuff on there that's not on there. But some of the dates for some of the albums, like say this year. Which sometimes means that it came out this year and sometimes mean that it got put on there this year.
Yes.
So it was kind of misleading to where I was like, did he do two records already this year?
Okay. No, it's fine. I can barely keep this out. So I keep it straight. So again, Barianne to the rescue. Thank you, Barianne. I was like, people are harassing me to be on Spotify. What should I do? So she... hooked me up with Plastic Head Media. Thank you, Connor. And she was like, I know a guy, we'll get you someone and we'll kind of hook that up. So to me, it seemed like it would make sense to like upload albums as the season, like kind of upload the albums in the season that they're coming out. So for example, I was actually thinking I'm like 2024 next week or so. I don't know when you're airing this. In late March, the Mountain Shadow album will come out, but I put out no albums this year. So let's see. I think this has this year on Spotify. And yeah, I listen to music through Bandcamp. So that was probably also another reason why I was slow to consider Spotify. It's just not something I use. You know, there's nothing more I love than like, I'll go on a hike and load up a couple albums that I hadn't heard before. And, you know, check them out. And if I hear something that I think is good, you know, I'll buy it. And like, that's the best fun for me. But no, so I got on Spotify kind of right at the end of the year last year to get Falls Resplendence on there, just because that's where the demand was highest. And then the first day of winter, I think I had the Wooden Wheel Winter's Promise, which is the folk, just the entirely acoustic album. And then I had The Clouds Lower Their Arms, which is a winter-themed black metal album based on Pennsylvania. And then I think I mentioned earlier the split that I did When the Last Forest Has Died with me and Mulder Yawn, that's on there. And then now Tuesday was the first day of spring. So The Wooden Wheel, Spring and Shadow will be on there. And soon I'll have The Mountain Shadow. And I also did a spring-themed black metal album, A Star Is Lake, and so that will be on there too. This is all a long way of me saying that it's confusing. I don't even remember when I originally made albums. I think I released most of the stuff that came out on Spotify this year was probably 2020, originally released in 2022.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I mean, you have quite a few. Do you know how many records you have total?
Oh god, All right. Opens laptop, looks for Bandcamp.
Yeah, I was trying to add it up too.
And there's
And
also some stuff that's not on my Bandcamp. There is like I used to work with a now defunct label called Old Mill Productions, and I had one or two exclusive albums on there as well that I'm eventually gonna put on my Bandcamp or Spotify or whatever. So yes, I'm sorry. It's kind of hard for me to immediately answer your question.
no, that's fine.
All right, here we go. I'm on my Bandcamp. So just on my Bandcamp albums, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
And that's just since what, 2020?
Yes, although I started some of them before that. And definitely, I mean that most of the albums that are on here came out in 2020 or 2021. So to your point, like where you're like, how did you ever leave the music room? Well, I just was there was nothing else to do other than go to work, which was on my living, is in my living room couch. Go hiking and work on music is pretty much all I did. So definitely the biggest spring of that came from that.
Yeah, I
And
mean,
being largely it's just me, so I don't have to worry about scheduling conflicts or whatever. I'm the only one who has to come figure out my own schedule.
well, and I
yeah,
think
and you
that's
don't
the
have to
future.
like approve it through four other people
Right.
and stuff.
Yeah.
Like you kind of you take it in every direction that you want to take it in. And there's
Exactly.
not like one guy feeling this a little bit more than the other guy's feeling this. So it probably makes the writing process easier too.
For sure. I much respect to people who have bands. I don't understand how they do that. And with a notable exception, so Mountain Shadow, the Mountain Shadow album, as I said, is a like is an effort that I did with my best friend. But one, I mean, like literally, like he could, like, I mean, best friend since childhood. He could show up at my parents' house right now, and like my dad would feed him. Like it's it's different. And then also that's still a studio project. We didn't rehearse the like we like there wasn't we didn't sit in a room and do all like we kind of wrote it and then recorded that all of my that's how all of my process works. The like the there's a very blurry line between writing the song and recording the song. All kind of happens at the same time. So and then I have a CJ who's who does some session drums for me, but it's so, but it's not it. Like at that point, the songs are done, and I send it to them, and then they, like they add the drums to it. So I can't figure out how people do an actual band thing. If you're listening to this and you're in an actual band, you have my respect.
I think it's just, and at least, okay, for me, I black metal is more personal than some other genres that for like I'm like hardcore is probably my like top fucking genre
Okay.
ever,
Yeah.
So like that's all about like togetherness, brotherhood. Well, it doesn't have to be, but you know what I'm saying? It's like
For sure. No,
all
that
for
does make
one
sense.
for all, whatever. And in black metal, it's definitely more solitary and lonerish, which, everybody feels like that at, from time to time. And it's
Sure.
just,
It's cold with a
yeah,
K.
I just, I love, we both fucking just love that shit when winter hits around here. We live in a northern place. How can you not dig
Sure.
it?
Absolutely. So, yeah, no, like that's great. I have some friends who are, in bands and like I admire how they can all work together. And obviously, like Emperor and Olver, at this one point we're bands, like bands that would go and tour, and I know Panopticon tours, and it's like I could never even conceive of how I would ever tour if that was ever possible. I just couldn't imagine how to do it. So, I mean, respect to all those bands out there.
Well, that's why I like some of them bands. They tour independently. Like each of them will go, like, yeah, they'll meet up where they're playing, but there's a lot of bands that will just not be on the same bus or take the same van or whatever because of shit like that. And
Sure.
they play together to work together. Like
Oh, I mean, that's like a business.
The Police did it before, and like, you know, Genesis has done it. Like a lot of them old proggy bands have done it. There's a ton of metal bands that have done it, like Lamb of God. I know those guys didn't always get along, and they just do it because, you know, that's their job and whatever. But
That seems sad.
And it does.
Like I respect the fact that they, like, you know, that's their job, and, you know, everybody's got to earn a living or whatever. Like, and respect to them for doing it. I don't know. I think that would make me too sad.
Like I was saying earlier about bands, and, you know, I almost bet if you ask, like, if you ask me, okay, you're going to be in a successful band, or you're going to be a successful one-man project, I'm going to pick one man every time. Just because it is completely yours. You don't have to make a compromise. You're like, man, I'd play that drum fill so much better than him, you know, or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
So I'd definitely give props to anyone who can play multiple instruments. And I'm a big Prince fan for that reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Not having, I was going back to what you said earlier. I do think, at least my experience for black metal is, it is a very like solitary. I don't go to shows. I don't. And again, I think those things are great, and not knocking it, but like, I was thinking about what you said. No, that's true. I think a lot of my music experience is solitary, writing it, like how I listen to it on a hike, or, you know, when I'm driving, or, you know, like when I'm going to sleep, I listen to a lot of music when I go to sleep at night. So it's like, it is just such a personal thing. And like, I had done some other things that we will not mention before Robes of Snow, but like the main reason Robes of Snow, I think, came out was like I hadn't done music for a very long time. My perfectionism was at times crippling, and I just couldn't do it. And I started to recognize I probably, you know, again, I really love being a grief and trauma therapist. I can't decide if it's the most black metal job or the least black metal job of all time, and I love it a lot, but I also realize that, you know, it's a stressful, and so I kind of started doing Robes of Snow as an outlet to kind of work to place those feelings that at work I were kind of stacking up on me at work somewhere else. That's why I ended up starting it, and I really enjoyed, you know, I do have a lot of collaborations. I have Dina Kazem, she's come over and sing, you know, did some clean vocals, and as I mentioned, CJ the drummer, and just a whole host of really talented people. But I think at the end of the day, I am pretty exacting about my vision of what I want for Robes of Snow. I think because it is meant to be a personal outlet in that sense.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. And like, you know, that shows through the music.
Well, no, I appreciate it. Yeah. There's it is a lot of, I try not to be like, I'm obviously wouldn't talk about client details in the songs, and nor do I try to be that, like, that literal anyway. But, you know, like there's a lot of stuff feeling like the need to get out. And that would also correspond with, you know, going out on a hike on the weekends and kind of being able to let that go.
So we have to wait until the end of March to get the new one?
We already have.
Yeah.
Well, I know we do, but I'm saying the public.
The Mountain Shadow album comes out at the end of March on Bandcamp, and I'd like to point out that that is not on the Robes of Snow's Bandcamp. It is on mountainshadow.bandcamp.com, and I will put that up on the Robes of Snow Spotify.
We will share it as well.
Thank you. But yeah, so the Mountain Shadow, because it's an equal collaboration between me and my friend Keith, that will be out on there. And then I have several other things in the works, and that's not counting the stuff that's going on Spotify. Like I said, a lot of the other stuff will be coming on Spotify in the next couple months that are just, I'm just trying not to flood people. I didn't want to like upload however many albums I said before all at once. I figured I'd like break them up a little bit. So definitely will be
a good idea.
Your best bet, because not everybody like listens to stuff right as it comes out. Some people like save it, get to it in a month or whatever. So if you're dropping 5 to 10 projects at once, people are going to be like, oh, fuck this. I'm not It's too much.
Right, yeah.
It's even like, yeah. I went to the Fog and the Tide, you know, like, and I still, there's right. still a few albums I haven't even listened to yet because I kind of got stuck in that one for a minute.
I know, but that's great to hear. Like, yeah, I would say the Fog and the Tide was probably the hard. You remember, one of you asked earlier about sort of like the easiest season. I think summer is the hardest season to write. It's just the one that I connect with the least. Like, because, you know, I'm a winter guy. Yeah. Like, there's nothing that may, like a hike in the woods during a blizzard is the, like, apex Damien winter experience. So, like, but so it definitely took me a long time to write a summer themed album. And then I the Wooden Wheel Summer Storms was the and taken the same day. The photos were taken the same day. Like, was definitely the hardest to write, but I still like the album. I think it's a good album, and it feels like summer in Pennsylvania to me. So, you know, ultimately I'm pretty happy with it.
As you should be.
I did notice there is less summer content. Oh. So that does that make sense?
Yeah. I originally drafted a message on Instagram that I later edited that was like, the energy was a little bit too much like this. This is the last fucking summer album I'm putting out with. You'll never hear any of that. Like, it'll only be autumn and winter forever. And I think it was just me being annoyed because it was too goddamn hot. Most of my stuff will be centered around, autumn or winter stuff. But I do find something I love about every season. And I knew that when I released Autumn Stag and the Crescent Moon, I was like, I knew that I wanted to release an album for every season. And then when I started doing the acoustic albums, I also like wanted to do an album for every season there. And so that's what I did.
It kind of reminds me of Inexorum. They did an album for every season too.
Inexorum, I'm not familiar. Do you have a recommended starting place?
I'll send you some stuff on Instagram.
Great. Thank you. Yeah,
they're a great band, and spawns of like a million other bands.
I've also really enjoyed like other seasonal albums, and like you know, obviously there's some, like a lot of the Norwegian bands do winter for obvious reasons, and you know, Panopticon again was one of those things where it's like each album had a distinct seasonal feel, and I love listening to music seasonally based as well. So like, I'd always love to have like, there isn't a whole lot of spring themed black metal or summer themed black metal, so I figured I'd at least put some of that out there. And I always love when people like make other recommendations to me, like seasonal recommendations, so keep them coming.
Well, it's interesting though, like that you say, you know, summer and black metal does almost seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. And then maybe there needs to be more, you know, like,
yeah,
black summer metal.
Oh, I guess they didn't do
it. Because there really isn't a whole lot of it when you think about it.
I thought they did.
Yeah.
No, there really isn't. But think about black metal in general. It's dark, hollow, and cold.
For sure. I'm just right.
Or icy. Like, so it's hard to write icy shit when you're in Beach Boys weather.
Yeah, but what if you were dressed in black in Beach Boys weather?
You're just going to be mad that you're fucking really hot.
Yeah, I am literally right now all dressed in black, and probably like not so much when I'm hiking during the summer. But no, I think the let's see. Will this tell me the release date? I'm guessing it was 2022. The Fog and the Tide. No, 2022. What am I talking about? 2020.
2020 maybe and, yeah, I think it was 2020. Yes. It said.
Yeah, that's one of the downsides, by the way, of being a one-man black metal project, and then having your writing process be like it kind of flows right into your recording process. Because I'll write a song and people will, like, I don't even remember how to play the riffs for half my songs, and I can't even remember like when I put them out.
Oh,
but
that
that summer was pretty fucking brutal in terms of how hot it was.
Yeah.
So like, and then still quarantining and whatnot also gave me a little bit extra angsty vibes. So like, I'm glad I put that album out then when I still had some of that. But no, I agree. Like, summer is pretty fucking brutal. Like,
yeah,
a lot of people die. And there's also a lot of like fog and thunder and a lot of other things that fit in pretty well with the black metal aesthetic. So no, I agree with you. I don't know that I have another summer themed black metal album, but I would love to hear other bands pick that up.
I can give you some some inspiration. I am of Irish and French descent, and the sun doesn't like me, man. So I got tattooed, and I'm working on covering it all up. But I hit that sun, dude. I just burn, and it hurts. Yeah.
My background is too snow honky to be able to tolerate.
Yes, like, I love it.
I sometimes people ask that question. Like people ask questions about like my cultural heritage, and like I have a lot of views and black metal have. So I like try to find a way to say it that doesn't like that doesn't make me sound like a Nazi. So I'll go with snow honky. For there and again I love every I love every summer. I have a friend, she's from Saudi Arabia, and she like she'll show me pictures of like a Saudi Arabian summer, and it looks so beautiful, and there's part of me that like would want to go out there, but it's like then it's like a warm spring day in Pennsylvania and I'm miserable, and then I'm like I don't know if I could do this, man.
Like, that's cool.
How did you get linked up with Barry Ann and Fiad? Did she reach out to you, or did you submit your stuff to her?
Sure. Okay. So there is another record label that I've worked with, the wonderful Wernham Records. I actually came across them because I was doing, I did some, you know, again, my love of winter. I did some winter synth albums and wanted to kind of spread them out there. So I work with Wernham, and I'll still work with Wernham Records. Nick and Selena are just the best. And then they were the, Nick was actually the one who put me on to, he's like, there's this other label and I think that you would be a good fit. And Barry Ann and I started chatting, and, we I think got along, kind of right away. We figured out that we're both like, on the adult side of things, and, I don't need to repeat her experiences. She said them very well on your podcast. And then she is also interested in the folk stuff as well. We kind of connected there. And then, we had that brief, feeling out time where she was trying to figure out if I was a Nazi, and she found out that I wasn't a Nazi. And then we just hit it off right away. And she's very responsive to the seasonal theme stuff, and she's been amazing in a lot of different ways. Like, again, she helped me with Spotify. She's helped me figure out some promotional stuff, like just great to work with all around. So long answer, but yeah. So shout out to Nick and Selena from Awareness Records, who introduced me to her. And then we've been working together ever since.
Right on.
Have you done any records yet, or so far is it just tapes? Jeremy's got one of your tapes sitting over across the table.
Okay, sure. So yes, we are doing records, and it will be for the Mountain Shadow album, which will be coming out, and then we have some other Robes of Snow vinyl coming out. It took me quite a bit of time to adjust to physical releases in my black metal hermit lifestyle. I typically just listen to music like via streaming. And taking it on a hike or whatever. And then again, also not being too closely attached to a scene. I remember the guy from Hi Reese from Old Mill Productions was like, he hit me up and said that he wanted to release a cassette tape of mine. And I remember saying to Keith, like, hey, I think I got pranked on the internet. Like, there's a guy in 2020 that wants to release a cassette tape. Can you believe how rude people are on the internet? And he was like, you idiot, that's all black metal people do.
Yeah.
It's release albums on cassettes. So I was really kind of late to the game when it came to stuff like that. And then as soon as I started working, Old Mill put out some of my couple of the early releases on cassette. And then, I'd worked with Wernham Records. And, he put out a few tapes, including an exclusive that I did for him. And then when Barry Ann and I started working together, the idea of vinyl came up kind of early on, but I wanted to wait for the right release and at the right time. But I think there will be some other, it takes quite a long time to get the record stuff ready. So this is a long, this is all a long way of me saying, so yes, starting very soon, there will be some Robes of Snow vinyl. And y'all own a record store, so I'd love to see if we could get some to you.
Most definitely.
Yeah, definitely. You can talk to me once they're in production or finished or whatever, and we can work something
Sure.
out.
Okay, yeah. So I believe the Mountain Shadow vinyl should be getting to Barianne like any day now, and some of the other Robes of Snow stuff. I won't say anything until until we get more of a kind of general time frame. But yeah, that'd be great. Does having a record store, does that like influence how traditionally like you listen to music?
I mean, we both collect records and CDs, tapes, pretty much any format you can listen to music on, mainly records, though.
Okay, it's like how you were saying that you only listen to streaming, forever. And it was like for us, at least okay for me, is like we want to hear it like at the best quality possible, you know what I mean? And in turn you're supporting artists, supporting the business, you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yeah, so I was no, I was definitely late to the game for sure, but I really enjoyed, obviously I got a record player so I could and have some records and some and I got a tape player to listen to some of the tapes. But I guess for me, yeah, I was never like anti-physical media. It just didn't like again with my lifestyle, it's like the three or four places that I listen to, like when I listen to music the most is when I'm out hiking, probably can't drag a record player along with me, driving into work, and I don't, my car is too new. I don't have a tape player.
But that being said, like our hobby would be like sound, and your hobby is making sounds, you know what I mean? Like,
Sure. Yeah.
so I guess that's like where that difference would be. Like, why would you even waste your time? You got time. You gotta need to make shit, man. You need to get it out there.
No, and like one of the cool, so I have one of the test pressings for the Mountain Shadow album, and like sitting down and listening to that with my dad was awesome.
Oh, dude, I bet it was.
That doesn't really get all the streaming stuff or whatever. So like, I mean, he gets it and he listens to it, but like that was a pretty cool moment. Sitting there and we're sitting down in his basement. He was, drinking a beer and, sitting and listening to it. It was like a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty cool moment,
Yeah.
dude. To have your
Is your dad
parents' physical media,
into your music?
What's that?
Is your dad into your music, or is he just kind of like, yeah, I support you because you're my kid, but I don't like this?
He's into the acoustic stuff.
Okay.
Now, and I mean, so much so, like my dad definitely like, it's funny that people are always like, oh, well, like what kind of beer you drink, or like what kind of pot do you smoke? So I'm what was the hardcore term? Straight edge, and it's funny in some ways in reaction to my father, who definitely listens to like stoner rock and psychedelic music and things like that. So I think that there's like certain parts of the song, like he's in generally like a good dad and a pretty supportive bro in general, but like he can kind of connect with some of the dreamier stuff or the acoustic sounding stuff. I think he's not as much into like he likes like Black Sabbath and things like that. So there is like some, but obviously Robes of Snow is several clicks out from that.
Right.
He always very supportive, more like tolerates that stuff. And it is on that side of the family that the bluegrass folk are from. So like
Okay.
he's always really into that part.
Yeah, normally, like at the end of an episode, we would ask you what's something that you listen to that people wouldn't expect, but you answered it
Yeah,
early on with
you
bluegrass.
listen to
Oh.
everything.
Yeah,
I just wanted to point that out in case you heard another episode and you're like, oh, they didn't ask me that.
I did. I'll throw this out there then, just to add another thing, because listening to my music, the bluegrass, like that maybe wouldn't be too surprising for someone who listens to my
Yeah, I
music
know what you're
already.
saying. I guess a surprise might be like Justin Timberlake.
Okay. Well, I'll go with a surprise for one of my very best friends. His name Anwar Hisine, and he's from the Philadelphia area, and he's a rapper, and he makes beats. So he got me listened to. I like a lot of 90s hip hop. So somebody posted like when so sad to hear the boss passed away.
Oh yeah, that was me.
And so I was very sad when that passed away. So yeah,
That did.
I like a
That's awesome.
like. That did catch me by surprise a little bit that you knew who
Right.
it was, but I was like, oh,
Well,
that's
and
cool.
so, but if you will, like, if you listen to like the first couple Wu-Tang Clan albums or the first few Mobb Deep albums, I don't think they're that di like they have a sort of similar lo-fi rawness to it, and a sort of
I
a
fucking love that you're saying what you're saying right now.
like a creative spirituality, like a outlet on spirituality, and like in the same way that I think black metal incorporates pagan, or black metal can incorporate pagan themes into a more modern context. It is interesting to hear like how the Wu-Tang Clan took the Nation of Islam or 5%er of philosophy and sort of mixed it into that way. I actually think, and perhaps this is a bizarre take, but I actually think that there is a lot of crossover. Those albums sound like dark and atmospheric and gritty in a way that I think is pretty similar to this, the lo-fi aesthetic of black metal, and then as well as some of the philosophical themes, maybe from different philosophical backgrounds. But I think good, and again, Anwar just being a great friend of mine, kind of introducing me to a lot of stuff that has like a really strong mood. So now I think they go together better than a lot of people might think.
All right, that leads me to, dude, I guess we could probably go on for another hour or two if you wanted on
Yeah,
some
but
90s hip hop for
I was
real.
gonna ask, since you mentioned Wu-Tang and Mobb Deep,
Right.
we did an episode a while back on 36 Chambers versus Forever. So which album do
What?
you prefer?
Ooh, tough. I'm not always wild about like making qualitative statements about art, like ranking them. If you were to ask me which one I listen to more, it's Enter the 36 Chambers.
Okay.
I don't know. I think they're both great. I really, what I appreciated about Wu-Tang Forever is that it's like they progress the sound, but didn't go too far from the like. It's a good blend of. It's a different sounding album, but it still retains a lot of the like, a lot of what made Enter the 36 Chambers good. There's a few songs like, and this was probably true for double albums in general, have a lot of filler. And please feel free to clip this because I am actually working on a double out a winter double album. And so when I'm saying yes, sometimes double albums can have some filler on it, please feel free to throw that back in my face when I when I release that. But there's still a lot of the songs from that album that are like really, really good. And they knew how to make albums kind of similar to Mobb Deep and the early Capone and Noreag albums, where it's like they're not just collections of songs. They're albums that have a mood and a story, and you listen to from beginning to end. And both of that albums, like the sonic storytelling, is excellent on both of them.
Yeah, we didn't do it in a way that one is better than the other. We just kind of did it in a way like the one that basically what you said, like
Okay.
which one you listen to more.
And it kind
Okay.
of boiled down to like, at least for me, it was because I heard 36 first, so that's kind of
Okay.
where I that's where I land,
Sure. Oh yeah, I was going to ask like what do you guys connect with the most?
I like both, like don't get me wrong, but I think like lyrically and beats Forever is better.
Do y'all have like a favorite member or favorite members of the Wu-Tang?
Method Man's like my favorite rapper of all time, so Method Man.
Now I would be more I'm like more of a Ghostface fan, I guess, than nothing against Meth, but
Right.
I like
Yeah,
Ghostface Killah style,
I'm
ODB
probably
style.
sure. Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know. Not that I pick it, but yeah, like those first couple, like the GZA Raekwon were probably like the artist that I would listen to the most.
Yeah, dude, Liquid Swords is, like I said, we could keep going, man.
Sure. Yeah, and I don't. And one other thing I just did want to mention, because since I know we're probably wrapping up, and I really appreciate you guys taking the time, that another influence, it's not a music, but another like type of art that really, really influenced Robes of Snow is film. I'm like a slow cinema, art house film nerd. It's like something I'm really, really into. And so I don't know if either of you are familiar with the films of Andrei Tarkovsky, but certainly like... If you watch any Andrei Tarkovsky movie and then you see any of the videos I make for Robes of Snow, you'll be like, oh, he's ripping off Andrei Tarkovsky, which would be absolutely correct.
So I'm not 100% on if we're thinking of the same guy or not, but is it the dude that makes like 6-hour movies? I don't know.
There's a couple dudes that make, and odds are if it's a 6-hour movie and it's shot on film, I probably like it.
Okay. Well, I just remember like, and it's like a 3-part thing, and the only Agnostic Front was in it. That's the only reason that I found out about it.
Oh,
and they were literally in it for a second. Like, boom.
No, that's interesting. So Andrei Tarkovsky, was a Russian filmmaker.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Who sadly passed away in the 80s. It's a whole thing. I won't go into the rabbit hole of Stalker and making that film, but like, yeah, Andrei Tarkovsky or Bellatar are two like filmmakers who, like, I guess they call it slow cinema. And you know, like, you have a guy who has a black metal band that has 30-minute long songs that are nature themed, and then you have filmmakers who have 3-hour long movies that are like heavily featuring nature a lot. I imagine that crossover certainly makes sense. And by the way, I'm curious to hear about the 6-hour movie with Agnostic Front in it.
Yeah, I'll message and try to find
if they're only in it for a second, then it's 5 hours and 15 minutes. Yeah,
and I mean, I will. Yeah, no, it's like they're almost on like like at the, what do they call the things in the mall that you would sit on? They're on something like that.
A kiosk?
Yeah, but like one you would sit at. A kiosk that you would sit at, and then the camera goes around.
Kiosk with stools.
And that's it. No, they're standing on it. So like it's all, everything's white. They're dressed in blue. Yeah, anyway, I'll get to the bottom of that small mystery and I'll hit you up later.
No, great, thank you. Yeah, but no, like...
So I honestly know, when you're talking about slow cinema and shit, this is I know nothing.
Oh, but no, yeah, so like pretty much any Andrei Tarkovsky movie, like, and most of them, Mosfilm, the Russian film company, uploads a lot of them to YouTube, so if people are listening to it and they're interested, like a lot of his best ones are also on the Criterion channel, which is... probably my favorite streaming service, to watch them. But if you're into like very slow, long philosophical movies that are weird and sort of more poetry, like most movies are like fiction and his movies are a little more like poetry. So if you're into weird, surreal, slow, nature-based stuff, please check out the works of Andrei Tarkovsky or Bellatar.
Thanks for the info.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Before we wrap things up, do you have anything you want to add, say, anything?
No, I mean, well, thank you guys for having me on. And again, I don't know if I said this before y'all started recording, but I really appreciated like Barianna. She's been from Fia Productions has been just such a like an amazing support to me, helping me figure out a lot of this stuff. You know, again, kind of being that one man black metal cliche. I'm still kind of new to thinking about things like promotion or interviews, but having listened to a couple episodes, you guys are clearly very good at your job. So I really appreciate the opportunity and thanks to
shit. I appreciate you saying that, man.
Well, no, because it's like, you know, you guys are smart guys who clearly know what you're talking about and are entertaining to listen to. So it's like, that's kind of hard to find all of those things, especially in like a niche area. So I think it's really great that you guys do that. No, and then so I guess otherwise I'd say, I don't know when you guys are posting it, but probably the next album that I will releasing will be, we'll be releasing the Mountain Shadow album, which definitely is more of a like death metal horror themed, although horror with, I try not to just do like trashy horror, but like while also considering all levels, the environmental, the social. So for example, one of the songs on the new Mountain Shadow album called 13th Son is about the Jersey Devil. And Keith, the, you know, my bandmate and childhood best friend, his family descends from the Leeds family. So when we actually went to the New Jersey Pine Barrens and they have a, like we wandered around there and I made Keith do lip synced vocal takes in the middle of the Pine Barrens. And we were like,
cool.
We found a historically preserved town called Batstow Village that I like kind of shoved them into a mule barn like and be like, do lip syncing right now while I stick this camera in your face. And he did an awesome job of it. But like, I think being in from the Appalachian area, like there is a lot of great kind of folk horror and myth that is beyond like that I think is interesting on many levels. Sometimes I feel like when people like kind of play on those themes, it's more like treating Appalachian people like trash or like we're all dumb hicks, like and not kind of taking the broader scope where it's like, yes, it's fine, I like horror movies and things, it's interesting, good to be in that kind of broader perspective, but like there is also always like a sociocultural perspective on that, or like folk traditions associate that, or like in the case of the Pine Barrens, like that my family comes from upstate Pennsylvania. There's a small, on my father's side, town called Locust Gap, which is right next to Centralia, which I think people like seem to know about. So being from these kind of areas, it's really important for me to feel like in doing an album that has that kind of horror sound to also pay respect to the environmental and the cultural parts of it. So that's my sales pitch for the Mountain Shadow album, which is good. The first album, I'm confident where him and I are going to do many more, and that should be coming out at the end of March on mountainshadow.bandcamp.com.
Okay, cool. We'll put a link to that in the episode description for sure.
Excellent. Thank you.
And we'll have all your social media and everything in there as well. But yeah, man, we really appreciate you and what you do and taking the time to sit and tell us about it and talk to us. And it's been a lot of fun.
Sure. No, thank you.
Definitely.
Yeah,
man.
Definitely.
It was a pleasure meeting you for sure.
Same guys. So, yeah, you guys are great. Like I said, anytime you want to have me on, you just hit me up. I'll be happy to do it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate that.